1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. Pray with me. Our God, help us now as we examine your word, that you would be most glorified as our minds are set right, and as our hearts are set right, that we would know how to follow you, that we would know how to love you, and that we would do and say and feel and think and love rightly, that you will be most glorified in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're given a shocking statement, and Paul intends for it to be shocking. He even says, this is shocking that this is taking place in the church. He's saying, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you. He's saying, not just any immorality. We find immorality in all of the culture. We see it going on everywhere. Then he adds to the statement, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles. Saying, this is so bad and so terrible that the worst of the worst will not do this. They would not even put up with this. And he says, and yet it's taking place in the midst of you. Now we would look at this and we would say, yeah, that's bad. Yeah, that's really bad. And we would look and we would imagine that we wouldn't put up with it, or we would hope that we would not put up with it. We would hope that if this were going on, that people would go through the steps and someone would go to him one-on-one and say, look, this isn't okay. You can't do this. This is sin. And that if he didn't listen to him, two people would go to him and say, no, look, this really isn't okay. You have to quit this. You have to change this course of your life. As we look at Scripture, if we're committed to doing what it says, if he still wouldn't turn, we would bring it before the church and say, look, this is happening, and as near as we can tell, so-and-so here is an unbeliever because he will not turn from his sin. So as the Scriptures say, and as we will look on further, that you may remove the wicked man from your midst. Well, most of us have seen us have to do this in our congregation. It hurts. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. Shameful for the person doing it, and it even feels shameful on the rest of us as we do it because it is so impolite. And it's so uncomfortable. But as we follow Scripture, this is the ways that we have to deal with sin when sin will not be repented of. Well, as we look at this, and as I look around the room, I know none of you are in this position. No one here has his father's wife. But as we look at such a path of wickedness, we would have to ask the question, how does someone arrive at this position? Where am I in relationship to this course? Where am I in relationship to this path? That, not that any of us are moving along to this particular sin, but each sin falls within a category. Each sin has its own flavor to it. Each sin is seeking something out, something to satisfy it. We looked in Jeremiah chapter 2. God spoke in these terms about you going to be satisfied from other places rather than asking, where is my God? Rather than asking, where is he to satisfy me rather than seeking him? So for each of us have the negative opportunity, or rather the threat, to be moving down this path. For some of us, we have looked and we have heard the songs of the culture. We have seen the movies of the culture. We imagine that we would be ultimately fulfilled within the context of marriage, or ultimately fulfilled within the context of a relationship, and we've sought it, and we've sought it, and we've sought it. We have drank deeply from it, and we have found ourselves unsatisfied. Some of us, we have looked in our hearts, and we have pursued in our hearts. one of the dangers for young girls is looking for these romantic fantasies and fulfilling themselves with their prince before they ever meet a man or meet God. That they would have these high ideals that they think, these are the things that will rescue me. These are the things that will satisfy me. For the men, the fantasies can threaten us. The things that we think we would find or the things that we would think that we deserve. We think these are the things that will be our hope or be our comfort. So each of us have opportunity to start down this path. Each of us have opportunity for these sins or the threat or the temptation of moving down this course. Now the ultimate answer is to be satisfied in God, and that's the ultimate answer for each sin. That we would be satisfied in Him rather than being satisfied in immorality. But more specifically this morning, we'll make our statement, hold biblical marriage in high honor. Hold biblical marriage in high honor. Our first step, number one, is guard against this specific immorality. Guard against this specific immorality. 1 Corinthians 5:1, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. So he starts off by saying, it is actually reported. He's saying, this is actually being said about you. There are people out there talking, and they are telling me that you are actually doing this, and that you are actually putting up with this. He's saying, look, guys, this is an old rule. A very old rule. It's a rule that we all know that this is not okay. If you look in your outline, it's quoted Leviticus 18:18, Deuteronomy 22:30, Deuteronomy 27:20. He says, you know you're not allowed to do this. This is the reality, and yet you are doing this. And for each of us, we can look and we can see things in our lives. Things we know. We know that we're not allowed to do. But we would do it anyway. The rule, being an old rule, is actually reinforced, saying you know better. In Acts 15:28 through 29, when they had the arguments about what was required of the Gentiles, we're given this statement, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourselves from such things, you do well. So we look and we see that this is an old rule. It's a reinforced rule that we are to accept it, and we are to live by it. But we ask the question, how do we get to that place? How do we get to that place? And you and I, we would look at ourselves and we would see ourselves somewhere on a trail. And we would look at this sin in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, and we would say, this is a crime way down the road. How do you get there? I heard one man speaking, and he was saying that adultery is like falling through ice on a lake. He said, all of us are in some relationship to a frozen lake. He said, are we looking at it from a distance? Are we carefully approaching it? Are we walking along the edge? Are we pushing on the edge of the ice to see how safe it is? Or are we walking out onto it to see how safe it is and what it's like before the ice ultimately breaks? As we deal with the idea of immorality, and this specific sexual immorality, we have to ask the question, how do we get there? One of the ways is isolation. That we remove ourselves from the place where we are being transparent with another believer. That we give the authority. And we even tell them, you have to speak clearly to me about these things You have to ask me these questions, and you pick the hardest, worst questions that you can pick for yourself. The ones that you know that you really need to be asked. You ask me these questions. And our relationship is beyond being broken because of this. We find ourselves down these trails as we self-justify. We would say, no, this might not be okay for you, but I can handle it. I'm okay. This is a place where we find ourselves on the way of destruction. We find ourselves ignoring or rejecting the words of life. When you find yourself not wanting to pray because you're afraid of what God might say to you. You find yourself not wanting to read because you're afraid of what he'll say or what he will tell you to do. When you see yourself starting down seemingly harmless paths, but you won't tell anyone about it because you know they might tell you, turn around, come back. These are the ways that we start down such trails. The word translated as immorality in 1 Corinthians 5 is the Greek word porneia. It can also be translated as unchastity, prostitution, fornication, of various kinds of unlawful sexual intercourse. And it's used throughout the scripture for any time and in any way biblical marriage is not being held to. One man for one woman in the context of covenant for life. So although none of you are in a position of having your father's wife, all of us are in the position to guard against immorality. Our next step is number two. It says, don't starve yourself on unsatisfying sin. Don't starve yourself on unsatisfying sin. For each of us, it could be written to us. It is actually reported that there is immorality in you. Could be reported to me that there is immorality in you. It could be reported to my session that there is immorality in your pastor. Of what kind will be the question? And why is the question? Well, part of the problem is that we do starve ourselves on the things that do not satisfy. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." There's a nice help for you when you're struggling with immorality. When you're struggling with immorality, the problem is that you are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. When you move from that place, move from suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, you can find a wonderful satisfaction in God. Romans 1, 22 through 25, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. Isn't that the picture of immorality? Exchanging the glory of the incorruptible God for the form of corruptible man. And we would go to it and imagine that I can be satisfied by this image of corruptible man rather than being satisfied with the image of the incorruptible God, or rather the full reality of the incorruptible God. It says, therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Isn't that the reality of immorality? Isn't that the reality that you've experienced in your various ways? Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. And now, this is the context that we're dealing with. Being content with what you have. Being content with what you have. If you're single, being content with what you have. If you're married, being content with what you have. Why? It says, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So in our immorality, aren't we searching for someone to be with us always? Aren't we searching for someone to verify or to validate us? To say that you're smart, you're strong, you're handsome, or you're pretty, and you're worth it. He himself has said it. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He says you're smart, you're strong, you're beautiful, you're worth it. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Jeremiah 2:13 puts it in the context then of our continued disappointment and our starving ourselves on sin. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. One sister that I've talked to, she has talked about women leaving a husband for another man. And she says, I don't know why they bother. She says, one's just as bad as the next. And I can agree with that. Psalm 107, 8 and 9. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied their thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has lifted up with what is good. Our next move, number 3. Recognize the beast-like nature of immorality. Recognize the beast-like nature of immorality. Psalm 73:21 and 22. When my heart was embittered, and I was pierced within, and I was senseless and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. There's this picture of a beast. I remember when maybe you've had the unfortunate experience of having animals that haven't been fixed. We had this problem with a dog, and this dog was tied out back. And the picture was anything that got close to it, he would try to have his way with it. And it was an ugly scene. It was a vulgar scene, and we hated seeing it. It was awkward. It was uncomfortable. It was like a beast. Scripture here gives us the picture that when we are immoral in this fashion, we are like a beast. If it was brought to light, it would be ugly. If it was brought to light, it's uncomfortable. If it's brought to light, it's actually quite disgusting. Psalm 32, 9 through 11. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. And shout for joy, all of you who are upright in heart. Our next step, number 4, is make the Lord your portion rather than empty sin. Make the Lord your portion rather than empty sin. So Psalm 73, we looked at verses 21 and 22, and I'll read those again, and then we'll flow into 23. Psalm 73, 21 and 22. When my heart was embittered, and I was pierced within, and it was like and I was senseless and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. And then in verse 23, we move into the answer. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. Verses 25 and 26 of Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. As we look at making God our portion, one of the great challenges in our life is to learn to enjoy the things that are good. To see what is right, to see what is beautiful, to find the things that are true and the things that ultimately satisfy. A number of years ago, there was a television show on, and there was this family that was all in way overweight, and they had been living on fast food consistently. And as they lived on this fast food, this team came in, and the team was trying to help this family to change their habits. And they brought good food in for them. And then when they sat around at the table and they dished out the good food for the family members, when they ate it, they actually threw up. They could not eat things that were good for them. They could take their processed foods. They could take things that actually weren't food at all. They could take flavored wax like Tootsie Rolls and eat it, and they could be okay. But if you gave them a vegetable or a piece of fruit, they actually could not process it. They would vomit. We might have to take a careful look at our ability to process what is good. To know that if we sat down and were able to open the Bible and to take one verse of eternal truth, it would be better than the greatest binge of immorality that anyone could ever assemble. That we can be satisfied with what is good. Greater than the greatest fantasy, greater than anything that you could put together, is God's eternal truth. Psalm 91:2. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 16:5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 27:13, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We're talking about real eternal victory now. Real eternal victory taking place in your heart, where you're able to say no to the things that do not satisfy. You've tried, and you have found yourself empty. To say yes to the things that are eternal and real and do satisfy. So our fifth step now is to guard against each specific immorality. Guard against each specific immorality. In Matthew 19:4-6, and this is Jesus speaking, and he, Jesus, answered and said to them, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. We look at Scripture, and anything that isn't lining up with this mission and lining up with this purpose will be immorality. If we're not satisfied in Him, if we're not finding our joy and our peace and our strength and our fulfillment in Him, we're missing it. We're drinking from the wells that do not satisfy, poisonous wells. He is our answer and He is our hope. So we stand for the things that validate biblical marriage. We strengthen them. We encourage them. If we are married, we are committed to our marriage. If we're not married, we're committed to the purity of other marriages, and possibly to our own future marriage. Possibly not. Singleness works. It's something that's been done for a long time. It's good. It's right. It's true for the people God has called to that. So we remain pure in the settings that we have been given. We throw off our isolation and our self-justifying. We stay far from the paths that lead down to these terrible sins. We hold biblical marriage in the highest regard. Pray with me. My Lord, we thank You that You have loved us completely and You have given us precisely what we need to walk in truth. Nothing less than You Yourself. Nothing less than Your perfect word and Your warming presence. God, help us each with our hearts to turn and to recognize those things that are truly good and truly satisfy You and Your word and Your sacraments and godly fellowship. God, please do bless us and make us strong and be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.